The name of this room is a sanctuary. And there's a history behind that, why you would call a place where you come to worship God a sanctuary, not in this country, but in the old country, so to speak, and in days past. Let's say you were accused of doing something wrong, of breaking the law, and maybe you didn't. If you could make it to a cloistered setting, you could find sanctuary. As we begin prayer time, we worship, we pray in a sanctuary where it's absolutely, utterly safe to bring anything and everything to God in prayer. Because this is a sanctuary. I'll start with the prayers that are here and have been shared with me, and then others that well up from your hearts. Let them flow. Let them flow. And before we enter into prayer, I invite us to the breath to help us center down in our hearts. Take in a long, slow, deep breath. Start in your stomach. Sweep it on up until stomach is full and into your chest until that's full. Slowly let that drop from your chest, and then pull your stomach all the way to your backbone. And it gets rid of the stale air. It stops the adrenaline dump into our bloodstream. It lowers the blood pressure. It lowers the heart rate. And it also helps us to move to our hearts, where we know God is here. God, with the rain that's we've waited for and needed, the long summer days that have been quite hot, and when one follows another with little change, it's easy to forget. You keep your promises. Behold, you create all things new, including us. We come to you and join in prayer today, God, with sisters and brothers in the faith, in a sanctuary, reminded that we are safe because we are yours. God, create something new. In each of our hearts, God, we pray that you would create something new, something that would take us away from the familiar ruts of sensationalism, the familiar things that bombard us each day, of negativity, of narrowness, of us versus them. Create a new spirit in us. And may that ripple out into our neighborhoods and our workplaces and our schools. And may that and each of us now together allowing you to change us and create something new, may that ripple out into who knows where this week. that goes somewhere else in this country and then out of this country. God, start a chain reaction. Of your biggest, broadest, deepest love. Through us. Into others. And we all bring lives full of events, some of them worries, some of them victories and celebrations. We bring them all to you now in prayer, God. We pray for David Brill, Yvonne Davies' relative, who fell at a construction site off of a roof. Move him from hospital to rehab, to health, to home. Bring healing. And God, be with Dean Tate and the whole family, the family of his brother Darryl, who lost his battle with cancer on the 24th of June. Bring your peace and your comfort that only you can bring. And we pray with Terry Stevenson for the family of Jeff Schaefer. He lost his sister. Again, bring your peace that passes all understanding. God, we pray with Deb Beerley for Laura Beerley, who will have surgery in Oklahoma on Friday. Be with Deb as she travels to be with her and help her as she recovers. And be with her husband, Josh, who is due to be deployed to Afghanistan in August. And we pray with Kay Wadsworth, a praise for Lori Orth, who was brought successfully out of this induced coma, and her heart has been steadied. She has received a defibrillator and she is actually now home. We praise you and pray for her complete healing. And God, hear any other prayers that we bring this morning. All of them, the silent prayers from our hearts, as well as any that we offer out loud at this time. And make them our prayers together by praying. Lord, hear our prayer.
Tracy said they thought her MS was growing worse.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. We raise these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray as one in his name. I invite us to his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There are three scriptures this morning, and there is a common thread between all three, which might not be apparent when you first hear them, but hopefully I can make it as clear as mud. From John, chapter 14, verses 7 through 12, Jesus has had this ongoing conversation, and he's orbiting around it yet again. This time it's with Philip. And basically, the ongoing theme of these conversations is the disciples, he teaches something, he thinks they get it, and he finds out by their question that, I got to try again. So this time it's Philip. If you know me, Jesus says, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus' favorite term for God is Father. So he's saying to his followers, you know God, you've seen God. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I can just see him. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And we go to one of Matthew's memories of Jesus' teachings. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This little light of mine that we played at the beginning, there it is. For now we see in a mirror dimly, Paul says in Corinthians 13, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. We're going to enter this common thread between these three scriptures from the back door, or a side door at least. Here we go. How many of you can remember at least one time when there was a full moon and you were either looking out the window or you went outside and it was so bright outside that you could see the lacework shadows of the trees and bright patches on the ground? Any of you ever experienced that? A full moon that's that bright that you can see the shadows of the tree. That's an incredible night, isn't it? Great experience. Now, let's go one better. Maybe not better if you don't like winter, but better as far as the full moon goes. Now, we just had a fresh snowfall. And it came late in the day, the sun has not touched it. And you go out and you stand, and each flake, it's one of those snows where the flakes are big enough, the full moon is shining, and all you do is move slightly, and there are thousands of diamonds all around your feet. Any of you ever experienced that? A full moon after a snow. Incredible. Incredible. Now we're starting to enter these three scriptures. Something that I don't usually think of, the moon has no light. Of its own. Bright enough to make shadows at nighttime, bright enough to make diamonds out of snowflakes, the moon has no light of its own. It's all reflected sunlight. A new moon, which is kind of a weird phrase, the moon's still there. It's just in the earth's shadow, and it can't reflect any of the sunlight, so we don't see it. So without the sun, the moon, as beautiful and bright as a full moon is nothing. Another step into the scripture. Jesus says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus reflects the Father's or God's light and love and power and spirit so vividly that he provides a path all the way to God. We can see to walk. If we'll take his hand, he'll take us all the way to God. Jesus reflects God's light the way the moon reflects the sunlight. Here's a little twist, another fact about the sun first, and then we'll go back to Jesus and the scriptures. None of us can stare directly at the sun. And we can glance at it, but that's it, because we'll burn out our retinas if we stare at the sun. In the Bible, over and over, there's a tradition that you cannot see God face to face. That's the language. It's poetic, but that's the only way you can talk about God, is indirectly, poetically. No one can see God face to face and live to tell about it. So we have to see a reflection, just like the sun. The last time we had a solar eclipse, we got a cardboard box down in the basement and poked just a pinhole in the one end of the box and put some white paper in the other side of the box. And then looked kind of dorky because we stood out in the driveway and put the box over our head so we could be sheltered in the shade enough to be able to see the light of the sun come through that tiny pinhole and show the shape of the eclipse on the other side of the box. None of us could stare directly at the sun and see the eclipse. It's just too overpowering, too bright. It'd burn out our retinas. Jesus says, believe me that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. If you can't believe that, believe at least the works. So if you can't see all of God completely, how about if we just have a pinhole of light so it makes it clear enough but not overpowering enough so we can see God? And those are the actions, those are the works. So let me build on this and give us it's actually a way to read all of the Bible. We're going to stick with these scriptures now. So see if I can do this clearly. First, we see it in Jesus. Specifically, we see God in Jesus because he reflects God's light and love. So that's the first step. We see it in Jesus. The second step is we start to see it in ourselves. Okay, I saw it first in Jesus. I saw God reflected in Jesus' actions, his words, his teachings, his miracles. The second step is to see that that actually can happen in me. Maybe I can actually reflect God's light and presence. He said, let your light shine, this little light of mine, let it shine. So he expects that's going to happen in you and me. So that's the second step. First, we see Jesus reflects God. Second step, I start to see it in me. Third step is, I start to see it in you. So let me ask you another question. Have you ever heard somebody say something or saw somebody do something and you thought, wow, I just got a glimpse of God through that person? Has that ever happened to anyone? Let me ask it in a different way. I didn't see a whole too many heads going. Have you ever been inspired by something somebody wrote, sang, played, sculpted, painted, acted, danced? I'm running out of, you get my, have you ever been inspired? We see it first in Jesus. We start to open up to the possibility that maybe I can reflect God's love like the moon reflects the sunlight. And then third step is I start to see it, you have to say it in your first person, in you. This was made powerfully real for me. A good friend of mine, and I won't be hanging out after worship today because we're going to go to Lancaster and I'm doing his wedding today. So blessings to all of you if I don't get to say goodbye to you. His name is Dave. Dave's father had the same disease my father had. Both our dads are now gone. It's Lewy body dementia. It's an awful disease. It gives both Parkinson's and Alzheimer's symptoms. And it's a slow erosion of everything. So his father was probably diagnosed about 6-7 years before my dad. So I had a, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on whose point of view you look at, I had a sneak preview of what my dad would be going through with Dave's father. So we watched him deteriorate, and I never met him, but through my friend Dave, I learned a lot about him, and we talked often. So his father died, and I went to the memorial service. And during that service, I sat and I listened to the pastor speak about Dave's father. Now, I never met him. Just heard of him through Dave. Heard other people in the family and friends give a time of witness. And I kept doing a double take because I never met his dad, but it was as if each one who spoke was talking about my friend Dave and not his father. It was uncanny. Somebody else would say something else, and although the time frame would have gone before Dave was born, I'm thinking, wow, that could be said about Dave. All these traits. Dave reflected so clearly his father, that never having met him in the greeting line, I told Dave and his family, I feel as if I knew your father, and I never met him. Because Dave reflected that clearly his Father. Does that sound familiar? Jesus' favorite term for God? Heavenly Father? All right, does it sound presumptuous and prideful and fat-headed to think that we might actually reflect God's presence and light and love? Maybe you think that's prideful. I want to end with an experience I had when I went to Israel. We went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel. There were many powerful moments in Israel. That was the deepest moment I had in Israel. So if you can imagine, the about as high as these windows, both sides of narrow corridors, this would be all smoked dark glass. And on the other side of glass, both this side and this side, as you walk through these narrow corridors, there are these tiny candles. They're live candles, flickering candles. They keep perpetually lit. And the guide told us that they couldn't possibly have, and each candle light symbolizes somebody who was killed in Nazi Germany in concentration camps. So we're, you know, talking millions. You can't have that many candles. So what they did is, because it's smoked glass, you can't see, they have all these mirrors. And they only used 100 or so candles in the entire museum. But because of the way they place them and the way they place these mirrors, you walk, believe me, quietly. Nobody had to tell you to be quiet. You walk and there's these tall, flickering lights. I've got chills now. Everywhere surrounding you. And it takes you out to the back door of the museum, and then you go out into a row of trees and some other message of what there's a great meaning out there too. If you ever think that your life, your little light, doesn't make a difference, if you could walk through that corridor, you'd know otherwise. Every flickering candle made an overwhelming presence. You and I are called to first see that Jesus reflects God's presence and love and light. Second, be open to the possibility. And you'd say this first person, I do too. And third, start seeing God reflected in the people around us. Let our light shine. We together will make a difference. Amen.
I want to take a second to thank Julie for being our musical leader today. I forgot to do that earlier. My apologies. Please rise.